Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, July 27th, 2022, and we are reading in the Big Book on page 18, beginning the second full paragraph. Today's readers are Jody H., reading the 12 steps. Kathleen O., reading the 12 traditions, and reading the text are Penny L.C. and Leslie M. Our share IDs for yesterday and this morning, yesterday, Tuesday, July 26th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 19,223, or 19223. And this morning, 7 a.m. East Coast time meeting, the share ID is 19,225 or 19225. After the sharing today, our newcomer greeter will be Tamara C., and making announcements will be Shelley E. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jody H. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Jody.
Yes. Good morning. My name is Jody H. I'm a compulsive overeater from the state of Maine. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood it. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thanks very much, Jody H. And Kathleen O., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be anonymous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen O. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 18, the second paragraph, which begins, "We hope this volume." And I will ask Penny L.C. to get us started today. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Kathy, and thank you for your service. And good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. We hope this volume will inform and comfort those who are or who may be affected. There are many highly competent psychiatrists who have dealt with us have found it sometimes impossible to persuade an alcoholic to discuss his situation without reserve. Strangely enough, wives, parents, and intimate friends usually find us even more unapproachable than do the psychiatrist and the doctor. And when I reflect on this paragraph, I look at that first sentence, and to me, that sort of outlines the purpose of this book. You know, it's to inform, to educate, right? To be a textbook that I can learn from. And yet it's also to comfort, to give me hope, you know, because I felt so hopeless. And why does that work? And that's because it came, you know, this book was written by those who had had the same problem, yet they had found and worked a solution. So when it identifies my problem, that's huge for me. But even with professionals, doctors or psychiatrists, etc., I would get lost in my self-pity, my blame of others, my shame, and I'd be unable to choose to be honest enough about what was going on underneath the pain. You know, I was just so full of the yeah buts and the if onlys, even with the professionals, that I couldn't get past that. And yet to hear that the problem was within me in the big book, that started to change things. But it still is difficult to get the addict to be forthcoming, right? And especially when it psychiatrists and doctors sometimes don't fully understand our problem. You know, they see our illness, but they're not quite sure how to get to the bottom of it, realizing that the solution is inward. It's a spiritual solution. I even had a therapist once tell me that I just needed to exercise. I just needed to get out and get moving. Well, that's a piece of the puzzle maybe, but it's sure not going to solve the whole puzzle. The comfort, even in the program, is to not just keep coming back, as sometimes we say in meetings, that it will get better. Because even if I'm only attending meetings and still it still allows my disease to progress and get worse, not better. You know, the solution to my problem in this program is to do the step work to lead me to a relationship, a healthy, vibrant relationship with myself, with others, and especially with my higher power. And I know that that is what creates change in me. And so I'm grateful to be able to work this program daily with all of you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Penny Elsie, for getting us started. I would like to now invite anyone who wants to share to give me your name, and the first initial of your last name. And please remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you haven't shared on Monday or Tuesday, please feel free to chime in. Who would like to share today?
Kathleen O.
Kathleen.
Carla C.
Carla C.
Mara B.
Kathy G.
Mara B. Kathy G. Anyone else? Okay, we can start with this group, Kathleen O., Carla C., Mara B. and Kathy G. Please go ahead, Kathleen.
Good morning. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive reader in Northern California. Thanks for your service this morning, Kathy.
Thank you.
We hope this volume will inform and comfort those who are or who may be affected. So, you know, I was certainly one of the millions affected by this problem. I went to psychiatrists, I went to hypnotists, I went to doctors. But no one could help me, and diet certainly didn't help. And, you know, I always shut down because these people couldn't identify with me. I always felt judged. I always felt misunderstood. So this volume, this big book, absolutely informed me because it was the first time that I understood this wasn't something I had control over. Allergy of the body, obsession of the mind. I had never heard of such a thing. So, you know, the information in this book, it doesn't try to sell me anything. Rather, it presents a solution to my problem. And, of course, the main object of the big book is to find a power by which I could live, a power greater than me that would solve my problem. Because nobody else could do it, and I certainly wasn't doing it. So listening to people share on this line in a humble way and with grace and just sharing their experience, this brought me enormous comfort, and it continues to bring me comfort daily. You know, I'm not alone. We can help others in a way that family, doctors, psychiatrists can't just by sharing our own experience. And the book showed me, one of the things this book informed me of is that, you know, my problem didn't have anything to do with the food or the weight. It, you know, an allergy of the body, which was never going to change, and an obsession of the mind, which was the larger aspect, because my mind will always tell me it's okay to go back to the food. So to find that millions of people have found a common solution, a way out, that's very comforting to know. We have a message of depth and weight. And when I came into the rooms, I had so much hope because I hated diets, and to know I didn't have to diet again, that in working these steps, I would no longer want to eat my trigger foods. I mean, I was promised that. I was never going to have to binge again. That was really hard to believe, but I can tell you now it's true. So, you know, no doctor, therapist, or diet ever promised me I would no longer want my binge foods if I followed their directions. And if they really understood my problem, they would have told me that if I followed their directions, I'd lose weight and then I'd gain it all back again and more. So, you know, I had to seek my own truth, and I did it by climbing the 12 steps. And in climbing these steps, I uncovered, discovered, and discarded the old ideas that I needed to get rid of. You know, knowledge is great in the material world, but it isn't in the spiritual world. And this is a process of unlearning, because what was killing me was what I thought I knew. So the truth will be revealed. Seek the truth, work the steps, and your truth will be revealed. And you will get the promises that this big book gives us in so much hope. Thanks. Thank you. And I pass.
I'm sorry, I was muted there. Thanks, Kathleen O, for your share. And now, Carla C., please share with us. Carla, are you there?
Thank you. Yes. Good morning, everyone. This is Carla C. in California, and I'm a grateful compulsive overeater, and I'm just so grateful for this meeting. Yeah, before I came in, you know, I went to therapists, and they told me that I just needed to be more grateful, and I just love that prayer is the answer for me, because fundamentally in every man, woman, and child, there is a God idea. And prayer for me, you know, putting aside the old ideas, you know, the things that I used to do, and getting the solution and working the solution. And yeah, like the last caller, yeah, we have hope in this program, and we just do what the book says and follow our sponsor, and you know, we can have neutrality around the food, and just so grateful for that. Thanks for letting me share, Carla in California.
Thank you, Carla. Mara B., please share with us.
Hi, I'm Mara B., recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater. And I like this passage simply because the truth of the matter, they couldn't help me because I wasn't completely honest about what my problem was. But the reality is I really didn't know what my problem was. And that's, you know, I really thought it was just this outside physical issue, that if I just lost a few pounds, when I came in the rooms in 1994, you know, I thought that, okay, that's my only problem. But after in 2000, working the big book in detail with my sponsor, that thank you God I still have to this day, 22 years later, I realized that the food was just a symptom of a deeper issues that I had. So I'm just grateful that this is a lifelong process to continue to help me with lifelong problems that will continue to come up. And today I don't have to meet them with the food. I can meet them with a solution. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Mara B. And Kathy G., would you like to share, please? Kathy G. Are you there?
Star one to you, Kathy.
Oh, so sorry. I thought it was
okay.
Unmuted.
Can I be heard now? Okay.
Can you hear me?
Is that Kathy G?
Yes. I'm so sorry, Kathy. It just wouldn't unmute. Sorry.
I know. I had the same problem. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, good morning, everyone. It's grateful for you, Kathy, and everyone on the line. Kathy G, gratefully recovered in Illinois. And as I was listening, about the psychiatrist, I just kind of flashed back to my own journey. And many years ago now, I remember going to this counselor when I was in the throes of bulimia. And, he wanted to make a date for us to have a piece of pie together. I think about that now. And I'm just like, and I don't remember ever having a piece of pie with him. So I'm guessing that I left before I tried that, because I was just, must have been thinking, he just doesn't get it. Like, he doesn't get it. Most people don't get it. But I'm just grateful to say it's coming up on 32 years free from bulimia, and just recovered, grateful to be recovered from compulsive eating today. I love what someone said that, I don't have to use the food today to medicate feelings from issues that come up. And I'm so grateful for the 10-step train that puts me daily in touch with my feelings, where I just ask myself every night, God, is there a fear that I need to address? Is there a resentment? And having a person every day that I connect with and just listen to them and then bring forth my own has just been a tool that has blessed me enormously. So anyway, grateful for our book, our program, and to be here with you today. So thank you. I'll pass there.
Thanks so much, Kathy G. Okay, I'm going to invite you again, if you'd like to share. We're sharing on page 18, the second and third paragraphs on the page. Who would like to share?
Bonnie J.M.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Larry G. from California.
Thank you, Larry G. Who else would like to share?
Elaine B.
Elaine B., thank you. Anyone else?
Jennifer A.
Jennifer A, and I think I heard Sylvia F. Is that right?
Good ears, Kathy. Yes.
Thanks. Okay, anybody else? Okay, great. So we'll hear from Bonnie J. M., Larry G., Elaine B., Jennifer A., and Sylvia F. Please go ahead, Bonnie.
Hi, I'm Bonnie J. M., and I'm from Arizona. When I read this paragraph, I had to laugh because my career was a therapist, and of course, once I got into the program, I never did therapy the same way ever again. But prior to getting in the program, I even went out to lunch one day with the guy that wrote the book, Diets Don't Work. And after having lunch with me, he said, because I introduced myself to him as a neurotic thin person, and that was because, I had gone from one diet to another, and at that particular time, I was thin. So after having lunch with me, he said, you're not a neurotic thin person, you're a psychotic thin person. And I laughed at him, but once I got into program, I really understood. And that was 36 or 37 years ago, and at least. And once I got into program, I never left. One other experience I had was with a gal that kept asking me about my weight, and I kept telling her where that I was in a 12-step program and invited her to go. And we were at the theater one day, and she dropped something, and in picking it up, she fell. And she was morbidly obese. And anyway, she decided to go to a meeting with me, and it took three guys to pick her up. But once we went to the meeting, she looked at it, and she said, you know, I can't relate to any of this. And I remember at the time I couldn't believe she couldn't relate to any of this, but it really taught me that, you know, we all have our own agenda for ourselves, and when we're ready, we're ready. And obviously, she wasn't. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie J. M., for your share. Larry G., please share with us.
Thank you, moderator. My name is Larry G., and I'm from California. I am so grateful that Bill had the sense to put in the big book, giving permission to get outside help. I am so grateful for that. I'm so grateful that the big book wasn't written in such a way that this is the only way. If you don't accept it, then, you know, hit the door. There are programs out there like that, right? There are programs, spiritual programs, and they're like that. I'm a grassroots 12-stepper. This is my life. I've been coming around since 1981, and this is my life. And this last go-around here coming into a Vision for You was the last house on the block, and I have prospered as a result of this. But I'm so grateful that the medical profession brought legitimacy to the AA movement. I don't know if we would be where we are right now without Silkworth, the Tebows, the Dr. Youngs, the psychiatrists who were keynote speakers at the first couple AA conventions. I don't know where we'd be if they hadn't lend their name and their profession and their authority behind this movement. I've been in like tremendous spiritual, emotional, and physical pain the last 3 months. And if somebody in this program would have said, Larry, what you need to do is one more 10-step, I would have hung up on them, because I go to 9 meetings a week. I am sponsored. I work this program like my hair is on fire. But I was suffering from something that was beyond the scope of OA or beyond the scope of a 12-step program. And I went back to a therapist I work with. And this therapist said, Larry, I'm not going to work with you unless you're active in a 12-step program. And I appreciate that. And I went in for a session last week, and I got so much relief that it's like I was passing a kidney stone. Honestly, it was like that painful. And so I'm grateful for the medical profession. I am a terrible therapy client if I'm not recovered, if I'm not, you know, working the program, if I'm not so, I make a terrible therapy client. And so I'm grateful for all those therapists out there who have supported the 12-step movement and worked with fellows like me. Because I think, you know, 12-step, and for me, just my opinion, okay, I'm not built as Larry sees it here, this is just my opinion. It just goes hand in hand, and I really have come so far. Because if you look where I came from, you look for the family I came from, I was a fucked up dude. Sorry for the language. I was a messed up young dude when I came to this program. And through my sponsor who helped socialize me, who got me to see my first therapist, by the way, I thank him for that. And anyway, I'm just giving a plug for those who might have issues beyond a 12-step realm. To seek outside help, because the big book gives us permission to do that. Thank you. I'm out.
Thank you, Larry G. Elaine B., please share with us, Elaine.
Thank you so much for your service, Kathy K. This is Elaine B., recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts, and also a very, very grateful one. You know, this volume did inform and comfort me, who was terribly afflicted. And I know it's comforted many Al-Anons, you know, many people who have people that are addicted to various things. And you know, in some sense, I found that pretty much everybody has some place that they go to for the comfort, you know, that I went to, Ben and Jerry, and, you know, overworking and overmanaging and just all kinds of things. But the food showed up on my body, 100 pounds of extra weight. However, you know, I really needed to find a way to manage my problem. And I love that there are people out there, medical professions and psychiatrists who can really help talk people through and unravel difficult situations. But these 12 steps, these brilliant, amazing 12 steps have helped me on a day-to-day basis be able to process the things that come up. And, you know, it may be a relationship difficulty. It may be a work challenge. It may be a fear that I have of the past or the future, and all kinds of circumstances, you know, deaths and financial concerns and just all kinds of situations that come up that I would stuff down with the food because I didn't know how to manage them. I did not know how to manage them. And the thing is about those aren't the things you kind of go, oh, hi, nice to see you. Did you know that I'm really struggling with this situation? And is this something you can help me with? Because really, I'm just having a really, really, really hard time. Or I would do that and I would bleed out on people who didn't have a solution for me or didn't know where to point me or didn't know how to direct me. But in this program, I have found a fellowship of people who have been through what I've been through. They've done what I've done. They understand what it is about the food. They know why it calls. And what I've really learned is it was a lot less about what I was eating, or what I should say is what I was stuffing, because it was what was eating me, and I did not know how to handle those, you know, things that came up on a day-to-day basis. So I would just eat it and stuff it and eat it and stuff it, and it showed up. But now with these steps, I have learned a new way, but not just a new way for me, a new community where I can show up and be gut-level honest, where I can say exactly what's going on when my friends couldn't handle it or my family couldn't have an impact. And it's brought me great relief, and it has miraculously changed my marriage and my community. And so with that, I pass with much gratitude.
Thanks so much, Elaine B. Jennifer A., please share with us.
Did you say Jennifer A.?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was unmuting at the time. Thank you so much. This is Jennifer A., and I am from Santa Clara, California. I'm so grateful to be here and so grateful for all of you on the line in the morning. What stuck out for me was the end of the paragraph that talked about, strangely enough, wives, parents, and intimate friends usually find us even more unapproachable than do the psychiatrist and the doctor. And the image that I got in my head for me was that of like a wild animal with their prey, you know, eating and coveting and snarling if anybody would have made even a minute, even some sort of effort to come toward me in regards to my eating, because it was certainly showing up on the outside of me. And I know, you know, it just takes me back to the feeling I had inside that if anybody would dare say anything to me, that I would not have appreciated that, and I was very unapproachable. I could feel the way that I was just putting the energy out, the spiritual energy out of, I know something's wrong here, we all know something's wrong here, because all of a sudden, you know, this weight has come on my body, and but don't talk about it, don't even think that you can say anything to me about it. And, you know, I'm so grateful to know that about myself, to know that I had a part in not only my own, you know, compulsive overeating, which I didn't know at the time, but I also put out to other people who loved me and how hard it must have been for them to watch me doing what I was doing and feel like they couldn't say anything about it because they knew that at some point they were going to get scratched, whatever that looked like. And it was usually with my mouth. So I'm just grateful to know that, I don't know why for me that stood out, but I'm just grateful to be here. I've got 11 months and change of abstinence, and my life is so much better today as a result. It's just a whole new lease, and I'm very grateful for that. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Jennifer A. Sylvia F., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, visionaries. This is Sylvia F., recovered compulsive overeater in outside of Portland, Oregon. And there is so much that was said this morning on the shares that have been so helpful. I feel like my brain is scrambled eggs, and another food metaphor, of course. And I'm going to try and make some sense of it. So that when I decided to share, the thing I wanted to say is that I was probably in my early 30s, and I was in a normal body size, and I thought I was bigger than I was, but I was in a normal body size. But I knew that something was the matter with me. I knew that I had a problem with food, and so I heard about AA, and I thought, boy, the way that they're talking about their alcohol, sugar is my alcohol. So I had identified it. So I heard about OA, and I was living in South Carolina at the time, and I went into this small meeting with such hope. And there were a lot of practicing bulimics in there and talking about this, you know, how radical their life was and binging and purging and what it was like. And so when I talked about I have a problem with sugar, it was really minimized. It was, you aren't sick enough yet. And so I didn't have a place. And so I ended up going out and having to, you know, gain my 75 pounds, and I had to do my anorexia thing because OA was early, it was young, and it just happened to be that meeting. So I ended up coming into program so grateful. When as soon as I got in, it was the first time that anybody understood, I felt like understood what I was experiencing, that sugar and food was a power greater than myself. I couldn't stop. It was such an urge. It was the only sensation I could feel at times. So I've gotten a lot of therapy. I've gotten a lot of help outside. I'm very grateful for it. I'm going through a hard time right now, and I do seek outside help. But what breaks my heart is I have a friend who's morbidly obese, and she's getting therapy by someone who doesn't have our disease. And she's in so much pain. And I have gently brought her to the OA, some lectures and things like that, and she can't relate. And, you know, it breaks my heart, the isolation and the lack of, like I felt when I first came in, and I hope there was no help, even in OA. So I didn't say that well, but so what would I say to summarize what I'm thinking is that thank God for these 12 steps. Thank God somebody understood what I had, and I could feel seen and heard and then have hope, and I could be helped. And I didn't have anyone in the medical profession who could do that because they didn't have my disease. They could be sympathetic. They could be empathetic. They could put me on a diet. They could say, oh, you have just such a pretty face if you would. And my family was that way. I needed someone to say, I see and I feel I have what you have, and this is the way out. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sylvia F. Good to hear you. Okay, we have time for probably two, maybe three more shares. Who would like?
Sherry KB.
Sherry KB.
Ronnie B. in Missouri.
Okay, and Ronnie B. in Missouri. Let's see where those take us. Sherry, go ahead, please.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB. in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Kathy, and Team Wednesday, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. And I just love this meeting, and I so appreciate what has been shared. You know, for me, when I look at this paragraph, and, you know, I have a problem of mind, body, and spirit. And every time when we read these paragraphs, when they talk about doctors and psychiatrists, they're reminding me again and again that, you know, I have a mental obsession, a physical allergy to the body. So I have a twofold illness here. And so I can't address one without the other. And through my life, I tried to address one thing at a time that it didn't go very well until I got into the program and started working the steps. And this spans way back to when I was 9 years old and my mother put me on a diet and said, you know, your only problem is your weight, Sharon, and if you just lose weight, everything would be perfect. Well, I totally bought into that. I totally believed that my problem was my weight and that was it. I didn't know that I had, you know, a twofold illness here, and I tried to address it for decades. I had, you know, therapists, and, you know, I would go to a gym and, you know, go work out, and if I just did this, and, you know, it got really messed up for decades until I came in and really started working the steps, and I had worked the steps before, but not like in the big book, not like how I was taken through, and that's what worked for me. And I know we're all garden variety people, because actually sometimes people in OA can be prejudiced. I had gotten into a food program where I got very underweight, and my family even said, you know, you're scaring me, you know. People would ask if I was sick. I walked into a meeting in Mount Shasta, California, and there were pretty large women there. Mostly large, and when I walked in, they basically snubbed me, didn't want anything to do with me, could not believe why I was there, what I was doing there, until I showed them a picture of me when I was like 100 pounds more than I was, and they couldn't believe it. And it's just, it's amazing to me, you know, I too was prejudiced. I was in a meeting, and this woman talked about her 12 pounds, and this is when I was 100 pounds overweight, and, you know, when she described what she went through to keep the weight off, it was shocking to me. And so I just think there needs to be compassion all the way across the board with all of us. We're garden variety, compulsive overeaters, bulimics, anorexics, whatever. And, you know, it just the fact with these steps and with my higher power, I don't know what I would do without this and without all of you. And thank you, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Sherry KB. And Ronnie B., please share with us.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Ronnie B. in Missouri, compulsive overeater. allergic to dust, so I decided to clean today. So I'm going to really try to curtail the coughing. Anyway, with the paragraph and with the program and with the illness, I could not see how I could have the same problem as a sponsee of mine in another program, because she did lose 100 pounds, and I didn't have 100 pounds. But when I explained to her how I was eating, then not eating, and then exercising, and then starving, she really worked a great 12 step, and she said, just try it. And so I'm glad for her gentle approach. One thing my sponsor has helped me out with a lot in the last couple of years is to now have compassion for others. And that was always tough for me because I'm a bottom line person, and I want to say to somebody, look, here's the problem, here's the solution, like, who made me God? And I hear that a lot from the 10th step. You know, when I do a 10th step, you know, my sponsor will say, where are you playing God in this scenario? And so many times I would say, no, I just don't see it. But one day I made the mistake and I said, I don't see it. Do you see it? Thinking she doesn't see it. She did see it. And so because I asked her, she told me, you know, me thinking I know what's best for other people and I have the power to do that and that they should follow me. And so really, I do understand for the most part, it's not perfect. There's no perfection in my life. But I can see that when I want something for someone else more than they want it, I have too much of a focus on someone else's life and my own spirit, my own soul, my own spirituality isn't getting nourished when I do that. So a long way to go. I have such a long way to go, but I can say this is all fact. If I make it to October, I'll have 3 years, and I know it's a day at a time. I'm just trying to, like, you know, level set. I went to a family wedding over the weekend, and I don't drink alcohol anymore, but that was abundant. And there wasn't an enormous, crazy amount of food. It was nice. And it's funny because someone I went with said, well, that was barely enough. And I thought to myself, it was enough. It just wasn't crazy. And then they had a dessert bar. And my sister went up, and I just never even thought of going up. And so that's the food neutrality that I get, not always, but a lot. And she said, you're not going to go to the ice cream bar? Well, normally I'd be the first one online. I'd be trying to cut through people. I'd be going back for seconds. That's who I was. And I can go back to that if I stop taking care of my body, my soul, my mind, my spirit. That has to be nurtured. So one thing I did do is I continued to pray and meditate on this trip and took time to be alone. So, you know, there's a threefold illness. I know today that I have it, but I do want to say every once in a while I'll say to myself, it doesn't last. You can probably allow yourself to gain 10 or 15 pounds and enjoy all of that. And then my sponsor said to me, because I told on myself, and where do you think you would be after that? So think the food through, what's good for my spirit, and focus on that. Thank you, everyone, for your sharing and for your service.
Thank you, Ronnie B. And it's now time to stop the sharing and move towards closing our meeting. I want to thank everyone who participated, listened, and shared. We will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Leslie M., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you, Kathy K., for your service. I'm Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. Great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you.